about the fact that there will be a time. In fact, he's quoting from Isaiah 45:22 in verse 11. He's quoting from Isaiah, and he says, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There will be a day when everyone knows who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Today, that's not the case. But we do. Amen? And he makes this statement in verse 12. He says, wherefore, my beloved, and he's talking to these members of this church at Philippi, and he calls them beloved because he does love them and because they are in the family of Christ. And he says, as ye have always obeyed, and that's a pretty strong statement. It'd be nice to say that about some folks, amen? But that church, he can say that to them. They've always obeyed. He says, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. He said, you know, you obeyed when I was there, and now that I'm not there, you're still obeying, and that's good. But look at this. This is the statement that jumps off the page at me, at least. In the end of verse 12, he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And you kind of want to stop reading right there, but you need to read verse 13 because it goes right with that. And these are the two things that I'll look at tonight. He says in verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And it seems to tie back to that idea of obeying in verse 12. But he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Let me pray, and we'll just look at this verse for a few moments and see what the Lord can say to us. Father, we ask you tonight, God, please give us understanding, discernment. Guide my thoughts, my words. Help us to see what we mean, what you mean when you say to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And help us to realize that we are given opportunity and ability and responsibility when we get saved. And help us to see that tonight. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. None of the ladies will relate to this, but the men will. And have you ever used a skill saw? You know, 8-inch blade, isn't it an 8-inch blade on a skill saw? Going around about a couple of thousand rounds a minute, I don't know. They move fast, and it amazes me what you can do with a skill saw. You take a piece of wood, and it just goes through that thing like butter. I had a friend, acquaintance is a better word, that I worked with in Salt Lake City, and he was computer programmer, but he wasn't really good at what he did. He didn't last very long in the company that we were working at. He finally gave up. And if you looked at his hands, he was missing the tip of this finger right here, or his left hand. I think it was his left hand. And I asked him, I didn't want to be rude or anything, but I just couldn't help myself, and I was curious, and I said, what happened to your finger? Well, he said, I was cutting a board with a skill saw, and I was holding the board, and I just sawed the end of my finger off. Now, before I ever used a skill saw, the very first time I remember thinking, this thing could hurt me. It's powerful, and I need to be careful how I use it. Have you ever seen these guys on the construction sites and walking around with a skill saw? You know what they'll do? And they're crazy. The skill saw's got a guard on it. If you don't know what a skill saw is, it's got a round blade with teeth on it, and it spins real fast. It's got a handle, it's got a motor, and that blade spins real fast. And there's a guard, there's a flat piece, so you can cut, determine how deep it cuts, and there's a guard, and as you push through the board, that guard moves out of the way. That's to keep you from hurting yourself. Well, a lot of these guys at construction sites, and I've seen them do it, they just take the guard off. And they walk around with that skill saw, just cutting boards and no guard. And when they get through cutting a board, what they'll do is they'll turn the power off, but that blade's still spinning. And then they'll just stick it on a piece of wood, and it'll go, and it'll just stop. And I thought, they would not want me to work here, because if I had a skill saw with no guard on it, somebody would eventually get hurt. And so when you use that skill saw, I know what it can do. But at the same time, I'm afraid I need to be careful how I use it. Now, that's one illustration of fear and trembling when you're doing something, okay? Let's try another one here. Have you ever been given an opportunity to speak to a very large group of people? Yeah. So I was a member of a church in Dallas, Texas, in Garland, actually, back in what would that, I don't know, 92, something like that. And we were in this church there. No, it would have been, anyway, early 90s. And this church was 1,500 people. That's a big church. I think the auditorium would seat about 2,000, had a big balcony. And the pastor's name was Gary Coleman. The Levon Drive Baptist Church was the name of the church. And on Sunday mornings, the church was so big that, like, this would be one section, and there would be five or six sections in this church. And you literally, we sat, like, imagine if each of these sections here would hold about 400 people. So we'd sit in this section over here. We didn't even know the people on that side of the church. You know, we never had met them. This is our section over here. We knew the people that sat around us, but we didn't know the people. Remember that at Levon Drive? And you'd say, I wonder who those people over there are. They'd be there every Sunday, but I didn't know who they were. So I'm sitting in the pew on Sunday morning. We came to the church service at 11 o'clock. I'm sitting in the pew over here. And the pastor, at the end of the first song, comes to the podium and he says a few words and he announces some things and he says hi to some folks that are visiting. And then he says this, I'd like to ask George Schaefer to come to the podium and pray. I think that's probably the biggest church I've ever had stood in front of. And so what do? Well, in the first place, you don't say no, so I pop out and I'm walking down. The platform was so big, it was about, I don't know, what do you figure, 12 steps up, something like that? So it's about four or five times as high as this one. And so I'm walking up there and I'm kind of thinking about this. And I just walked to the podium and did the best I could and prayed. But it's kind of fearful. What if you say something wrong? What if you say something stupid? What if you don't say what you're supposed to or whatever? And I'd been serving the Lord for a long time. I wasn't completely ignorant. But still, it's kind of scary having that opportunity but that responsibility to pray in front of this big church. That's another example of fear and trembling. Now, look at verse 12, and you help me a little bit here. Ask yourself this question. First, he says, work out your own salvation. I'll explain that. That's easy. You have salvation in Christ. Amen? It's a possession. It's something that belongs to you. God gave it to you. He will never take it back. It's yours. You say, what if I sin really bad, Pastor? He forgives really good. You are saved. And it is your salvation, and you own it. And everybody here, I think, that I know is saved, you have salvation. Christ died for you on the cross. He paid for your sins. It belongs to you. So we know what he means when he says your own salvation. But what does this mean when he says work it out? Work it out. I know what the word work means. I know what the word out means. I know what work out means. We use that word a little different today because we're used to the idea of going to the gym and working out. You say, ah, that was a good workout. You know, you burned enough calories and you got sweaty and you got your muscles exercised. That was a good workout. But what does he mean? Work out your own salvation. So the only way I know to shed some light on this, God helping us, of course, is to look at other places in the Bible that use the same word. It's actually one Greek word here. And I can go look around in the Bible, and there's some other places, and I won't read the verses to you. But in general, what it means is to do something, okay? To do something. It would be like if I was to say to work with, that might be another way to say it. Or to use, that might be a way to say it. So it starts to make sense because did God give us our salvation just for us? You think? It's good for us, right? But you know good and well, somebody way back when got saved and told somebody else, and they told somebody else, and they told you. So salvation is something that's not just useful to us, it's useful to others. And when he says, work out your own salvation, I think a simple, close way to say it is to use your salvation. Don't just let it sit there. In my garage right now, in a box, I'm not sure which one, I have a thing called a router. You ever work with a router, anybody? That's a great tool. You can do all sorts of neat things with a router. There's another one that you can hurt yourself with pretty easy. And it doesn't have a safety guard on it. You just got to be careful how you use it. And I've built some neat stuff with routers. You can do joints in wood, and you can make rounded edges. But you know what? We have been here now coming up on 6 years. The whole time I've been here, that router's been in the box. I have not used that router one time in 6 years. I have a little jigsaw, a little handheld jigsaw. 6 years. I don't even know where it is. They are useless to me. I've got them. They're powerful. They can do great things, but not if I don't use them. So this begins to make sense, and you ask yourself the question, and we all have to ask this question, are you using your salvation? Is it not a great thing? Oh, look what he says in the next verse, because that's why you need to know this. It is God which worketh in you. It is God which worketh in you. I'll just ask you a question. What's more powerful, a skill saw or God? God, obviously. What can you think of that describes more power than God? And he works in us. He says, work out your salvation, for God works in you. Don't you see the power there? Now, why fear and trembling? It's not so much the idea, I don't think at all, that we're afraid of hurting somebody with it, or I don't think that's the issue at all. I think the issue is more this. It's the responsibility, don't you think? I mean, okay, a hurricane came through South Texas, and it rained, I don't know, 2 feet in about half a day, and South Texas is flat, and so all of a sudden everything's flooded. And I was the National Guard Armory commander, and they called me and they said, you have been mobilized. Your unit, the governor, has mobilized all the units in the area, but in our city, we were it. There were, I don't know, 60 of us maybe. You have been mobilized, and they said for the next, we don't know how long, it might be a week, it might be 2 weeks, it might be a few days, but your job is to provide relief for these people. And we'll give you some instructions, and you need to find out what's going on. And I got to thinking to myself, this is pretty serious. I got a job to do. And people are counting on me. And I've told you some of these stories. We'd drive out and pick people from flooded areas and take them to higher ground. The funniest thing that happened that week. The first day, they told us, there's a little town about 12 miles south of you, and it's surrounded by water on all sides, and there's no way to get to it. We had some trucks that could drive in 4 feet of water. You can get to it. Take these people. We're going to give you 250 ham and cheese sandwiches. Take these people, these ham and cheese sandwiches. Okay, put the sandwiches in the truck. Guys, I didn't go with them. I sent these guys. I delegated, and they drove out there, and I remember it was in the afternoon, and they came back at about 6 or 7 o'clock at night, and they said, Lieutenant, when we got there, all their power's off, and so their refrigerators and freezers are not working. So they had the biggest barbecue you've ever seen in your life. They do not want our ham and cheese sandwiches. They said, no, we don't want them. Take them back. So about a half an hour later, I get this phone call from this lieutenant colonel at battalion, and he said, or radio call. He says, Lieutenant Schaefer, you need to find some way to feed your men. I think I have a solution to that. I know where I can find 250 ham and cheese sandwiches. And so sure enough, we had everything we needed for the next few days. But wouldn't you feel responsibility? You know, there's people out there, and they're in danger, and we have the resources to deliver them, and we could go out in our trucks and bring them in. We could take food to them and take them to shelter, and if somebody was hurt, we could take them to the hospital, and we did a lot of that over the course of the next few days. I felt responsibility. Don't you think we have responsibility as a born-again Christian? Hey, listen, folks, if we don't tell people, who will? Amen? That's fear and trembling, and that's work out your own salvation. And I don't have to go back and spend much time on this. He says that you have always obeyed back in verse 12. He talks about God's will and his good pleasure in verse 13. What is God's will? I know one thing. God is not willing any should perish. You say, Pastor, what about the people that we tell and they won't listen? Well, the Bible talks about that, but I'd ask this question. What about the ones that we tell that do listen? Talk about Sunday school. Every day, especially on Sunday morning, if I'm driving through the neighborhood over here and I see some children I don't recognize, I can't help but think in my heart, I wish we could get them to church somehow. Amen? Same thing in the apartments, in the trailer courts, and other places. And that's what God gave us our salvation for, is not just for us, but for others. Work out, use it, exercise it, do something with it, your own salvation, with fear and trembling. The fear and trembling, the idea that, what if I don't reach them? What if I make a mistake? What if I'm not what I ought to be? People are going to suffer because of that. People are going to die because of that. That's where the fear and trembling comes in. And can you imagine what it's going to be like to stand before God one day? Now, just maybe somebody here has had the opportunity to meet a very important person. I've never met a president. I've never met a vice president, come to think of it. I did meet the assistant secretary to the Navy one time, and I've met some important people. When I was in the Army, it was so funny. When we were in the Army, we'd be out in the field training, and I was with field artillery, and so we'd be out there, and we'd be shooting, and we'd be plotting and stuff like that. And one day, we got this call on the radio, and they said, there is a general, a one-star general in your area. He's going to come watch your training. Everything changed. Because if you know anything about the Army, once a general shows up, they have power, and they can make your life terrible or they can make it great, and everybody caters to the generals. I don't know what it is, a full bird colonel, an 06 with an eagle on his shoulders. Yeah, he's important, but when he gets that first star, he's 10 times as important. And everybody acts different when the general's around. They're nervous. They don't want to make a mistake. They want to do what's right. Well, folks, God's around. In fact, he's in you. Oh. That ought to really change the way we live, I think. That's kind of scary if you think about it. There's fear and trembling right there. God works in you. And what is he trying to accomplish? He's trying to accomplish his will and his good pleasure. God is not willing that any should perish. Amen? Now, I'll just stop right there. I think that pretty well sets the stage. He talks about how we can do that in verse 14. We'll look at that maybe next week. And then he talks about holding forth the word of life in verse 16, which is kind of what we talked about tonight. And just that one phrase, though, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. There's a reason to fear and tremble because we are in the presence of God. And it's a reason to fear and tremble because there are some people that depend on us. And if we do not do what we can and what we should, they're not going to get saved. Let's all stand and pray, if you would, please.